All right. So while we wait for the response and then call messages, the topic for today is building and growing agribusiness, right? Building and growing agribusinesses. And this is something that is very important, particularly for those that are either active in the space. Hello? Hello?
Hello?
Yeah, you're muted. I can hear you. Hello? Okay. Sounds like there's a lot of background activity going on there. So, building and growing agribusinesses. Success in agribusiness is deliberate, just like every other business. Success in every business is a deliberate action. You don't put the right action in place, your results will be marred with several challenges. Even when you put the best foot forward in a business, like you put the right idea in a business, there is still bound to be challenge. You put the right thoughts, the right processes, the right action, the right steps, everything is complete in the business, yet there are still challenges, and that's the truth. But when you understand that, then the best thing to do to reduce challenges are to understand the right way to go about business and then putting those right stage in place. Now, once they're in place, then it's not going to endlessly or totally eradicate every challenge you may encounter in business. However, it is bound to reduce drastically your challenges in business. Two, it is also proven to increase your chance of success. And that's why in the snippets and the flyer, I said success in agribusiness is a deliberate result of repeated proven actions that are founded on sure principles. Discover the secrets, of course, in this webinar. That's the goal in this webinar. Now, you have to understand that people that are successful have a routine. They have a routine that they do on daily basis. They have a routine that they execute on weekly basis. They've got a routine they execute on monthly basis. They are creatures of routine, right? You can't say anybody that is successful, consistently successful, that will tell you that everything about him is accidental. And that is not the case. Deliberate, successful people are not accidental in nature. They don't just stumble upon growth. On that, do they play around growth? If you ask people that are successful, something that unique about themselves, they'll tell you what their life had been before that growth, what it is during the growth, and what it is bound to be after the growth. And that is how life typically works. That is how life works. So there have to be processes that leads to action, then that leads to success. I'll be sharing those two infographs today, and those infographs are going to help us explain how to build and grow agribusiness. There's a part where you have to build it, right? So let's use example of a house, right? If you're going to want to own your own house and live in it, the first thing first, of course, is to build that house. Shortly after you've bought the land, right? We are working with the assumption here that you've got the land already, right? And that land, to live in that land and thrive on that land, then you need to build a house there. That house, whether it is one bedroom, whether it is two bedroom, whether it is four bedroom, whether it's a duplex or a mansion, whichever concept that works for you, whatever you want to experience, you have to build a house there first. Then after you build a house there, then the next thing is to thrive in that house. To live in the house and thrive in the house, right? And more often than not, you have to make certain renovations, as there may be one or two challenges that may start popping out here and there. It could be the plumbing activity in the house. It could be the wiring activity in the house. It could be the fact that the interlocks you made, grasses are growing within, in between it. There could be numerous things that could pop up in the house. Then thriving the house requires that you repair those things, align repairs, align maintenances, buy new things, new structure, new face, giving it different touch. Now that's how you thrive in that house. Similarly to that same project life cycle, in the business, there is the part where you build the business and there's a part where you grow the business. You give it expansion, you make it become bigger. If it is a business that is known to a certain community,
then you make it known to a certain region, local government, state, or even at the federal or national level. There are actions that you take, but you need to understand the stages of business, and that's what I'll be helping us to understand with today. This webinar is broken into two, right? We have plans that there will be a second phase of this webinar as much as possible. This is the first phase, so the goal is not to rush all of this thing. The goal is to take it gradually and build it upward, and that is the goal for this webinar, right? I'll be sharing the infograph, so we'll go through it together. If you don't have a business yet, or if you are managing a business yet, or you just recently started a new business, I want you to follow that business. That business should be the thing you're thinking about, even as I explain this concept to us, so that you can see how to apply these things in your daily business, right? If you have the business already, and if you don't have the business already, you're thinking of starting a new one, how to apply what I'm about to say into your business. You picture your business even as we make conversations, and then you juxtapose what you may need to put in place or what you need to change or adjust so your business can survive, thrive, and expand. One minute, please. This screen will change soon. All right, so the two things I'm going to talk about is the life cycle of every business, whether agribusiness or a normal business, right? Let me start with the second image, right? Then we'll go into the first image, right? So the first image is going to explain what happens once a business has taken off and is out there already. Why the first thing to talk about, even before the business takes off, right? And how you now eventually grow it big, right? So you can see business to be something somewhat of 4, 5, 6, depending on how you understand the definitions of the different stages. Some people tell you it's 5 stage, some will tell you it's 6 stage, some tell you it's 4 stage, some tell you it's 2 stage, some people can tell you it's 1 stage. It depends on how they define the stage that they are trying to give life to, right? It depends on how they define it. Stage one existence, according to this infograph. Now, as I said, don't be hooked per se on the concept that it is 5 stage. Don't be hooked on that concept. No, that's not what you should be hooked on. You should be hooked on the fact that it is the definition of the stages that you should pay your attention to, not the number that is on top, but the definition of what that stage is supposed to achieve. Stage one is existence. You need to even be alive, right? Some people tell you that this is the ideation stage, right? Some people tell you it is the creativity stage. Different ways, different definitions, different topical headings of what the stage is. The summary there is, it is the beginning and your existence, right? Growth achieved through creativity, open to crisis of leadership. Now, these are challenges of this initial stage. In this stage as well, is when you take the idea, you've sat on the idea, right? You've looked into what is the possible outcome. Before this stage as well, within this stage is when you test the viability of what you want to put into the market. There's the research and survey of the market. What you want to go into. The agricultural business you're considering or you're into, is the market ready for that business? Is the market in need of that business? Is the market willing to buy that business, your product, your service, at whatever cost? Or is the market going to buy it at a certain cost? There are some solutions, I won't lie to you, that people are going to buy it for whatever price is mentioned, and that's the truth. And the scarce that service is, the more people are willing to pay abnormal value for it. For example, if you are conversant with Lagos very well, right? Once it is evening time during work weekdays, when I mean evening, I mean post closing time from work, right?
if you stay at major junctions in Lagos and you're trying to get transport, you realize that the prices that they will call for you, if you're trying to be picky about the price, you realize that you're not going to go anywhere. As the price you are trying to argue or challenge, people are entering that same cab in your front. And in your front, you'll be counting bus 1, bus 2, bus 3, bus 4. That will leave your front while you're still contemplating whether the price is right or not. Now, that's an example of a service that people at that moment are willing to pay what they need to pay to get what they need to get. So there are businesses that have such capacity where people are willing to pay what they need to pay to have what they need to have. And there are businesses that you're going to have, and if it's not priced at the right way, nobody's going to buy. There will be interest, but there will be no sales. Good afternoon, sir. I want to check in. Do you have this chemical? What chemical? Oh, do you have this weed, where weed killer? Or do you have Forsop? Oh, I have Forsop. How much is it? And they say like 10,000 Naira. And they're like, 10,000 Naira? That's too high. What's the last price? And you're like, 8,000 Naira. They're like, okay, I'll call you back. And then you wait for their call, and then they never calls back. And then you get almost 4 or 5 calls because you put yourself out there on the internet advertising what you do. Then you get 5 to 6 calls, but then nobody's buying. The reason why they're not buying is not because they don't need chemical, but it's because they don't need it enough to want to pay exorbitant price for it. And beside that, they are confident that that price is too high, so they know someone else is going to have a better value out there. And because the monopoly over things like that are not fixed, you're not able to hold them for long. So you need to have all of this period gotten right. You need to show you why your existence matter. Now, in the business and startup world, there's something they call the vitamin problem. There's something they call the painkiller problem. If you're not used to this concept, then it's high time you get to understand it. In the vitamin problems are problems that people believe can be managed one way or the other. Could be delayed, could be managed, could be alternated. There are some problems you're going to have that if the solution is not there, there's some alternate solution you could use to hold the weight of that problem until the right solution comes around. So, for example, you've been craving for, let's say, a certain sort of swallow. Let's say you like oatmeal made into a swallow, but then that's what you want. You crave it so much, but somehow you're not seeing the oat. You're not able to get them. The next thing you have to make do with maybe cornmeal, and then you have to have swallow made from corn instead. That's not what you want, but that's the clear substitute. So in a way, you're going to manage, you're going to pass the night eventually until you have to find it eventually. But then you can manage. If it's 1 year before you know, you're managing other products since there's no oatmeal. Now that, so at that moment, that oatmeal to that person is a vitamin problem. It's a vitamin problem. Now for someone that is diabetic, now oatmeal might not be a vitamin problem. It might be a painkiller problem because it means that he has to have oatmeal or nothing else. The alternative cannot be taken. And that is a painkiller problem. And when you have painkiller problem, it can be a blessing and a curse. A blessing in the sense that people would want to buy it at all costs. If the pricing model is not favorable, people will want to reason it, but they won't abandon it. And the goal for them is to ensure that they are able to get what they want as soon as possible. They won't have their answer when they need it. And that's a painkiller problem. It means that if you call, let's say normally the oatmeal you want to buy is, let's say maybe 10 Naira. But at the point of that period, if you say 15 Naira, they won't run. They will stay and ask you that, oh, sorry, can you not take 12, 13 Naira? They're like, no, I can't take 13 Naira. What about 14 Naira? I can't take 14 Naira. Eventually, they will buy it from you. Because that thing, they must have it as a solution at all costs. That's a painkiller problem. So you have to understand that the agricultural business you are looking at, or the one that is you started, or the one you're about to start, is it a painkiller business solution or a vitamin business solution? Welcome, Akinwunmi Akintoye.
Do you mind muting yourself? Because I'm also recording the session.
All right, thank you. So you need to understand what your business is to even survive and exist, right? Now, after you now exist and everything is now good, then you now start, you go into the market, you launch yourself. Before you launch as well, there's something I call the pilot, the probate, and the launch. It's a simple model I've used in the past. I have a graphics on it on my Instagram handle, right? The pilot, the probate, and the launch. The pilot, the probate, and the launch. When you pilot, it means that you want to test that thing you're doing. And this is very important for those that are just starting their own agricultural business. You pilot. So you're offering a service or a product. Don't do too big. I've already shared a video on lean startup methodology. If you've not seen that video, kindly go to the email I sent last. You will see the lean startup video there. Kindly watch it. Lean startup is just you starting small and allowing your growth to be based on the feedback from your audience, right? Now, it's very important that you use that model to pilot. Start small. You want to do 10 acres farm, start with 1 acre. You want to do 1 acre, start with 1 plot. You want to start selling feed. Don't go and invest 10 million into distribution ship. Try and start with 1 million first. If 1 million is your goal, then start with 500,000. If 500,000 is your goal, then start with 100,000. Don't start whatever business that is in your head. But like if you're just starting on the biggest scale yet, come as low as possible to an inconsequential level where you know if you even make a loss, you'll feel it, but you won't die of heart attack from it. Test your market. Some of you are going to go into businesses that are good and splendid. However, it will be launched in the wrong markets. When I mean wrong market, I mean the place where people are not actively looking for that product, and you're going to struggle. Why if only you just switch and drive your boat to just maybe 2 kilometers from that place, there will be abundant of sales. So during the period of your existence, these are things you want to consider as much as possible. Now, some of the challenges that are there in the existence stage is you need to question the case of leadership. You can see the graphics I'm sharing open to crisis of leadership. So usually in the beginning, when you're trying to exist, difference in opinion among, but like if you have a co-founder, if you're more than one, if you're more than two, you're more than three, you guys are co-building together, there will be these differences that come around. You have to deal with this in the existence stage so you can survive. And that thing you notice in the graph is that you can see the red line, it is small, and between the existence stage and survival stage, it looked like nothing is happening. That person, if it's 10 customer person sitting per week, the 10 has not changed, it's still 10. However, as you put creativity into what you do, you review, you analyze, you adjust that business model that you're doing, and you improve on your processes, customer service, before you know, you will start growing. But then after that existence, then the survival comes in. Now, that the survival period is the period that will test the idea you're playing around with. Is this something that will even grow at all? A lot of us just jump into a business with the first idea that comes to our mind. The first idea that comes to our mind is what people jump into. Some people just jump into it straight away. Please, if you're not into business yet and you just want to start, please don't just pick any idea that comes to mind and jump in the front of it. Please don't. So you don't go through accidental failures, because in real sense there will be nothing accidental about the failure. Because if you jump into any business and you don't understand the full rope of that business, you're going to have issues. Even understand just basic principles about how business work and how to go about it is even better than not even knowing anything at all. If you don't know anything about the agricultural sector per se, but you understand how business works, there's a way that when you come to the agricultural sector, it won't be all bad for you, because you understand a bit of it. Because sector by sector, these durations between existence and survival is different. In some sector, the difference in existence and survival is probably maybe a year or two, or probably some few months. While in some other sector, it can be up to 4 to 5 years. You need to understand the sector and understand where you are. Now, during survival period, you will notice that the growth you start seeing in survival stage are growths that are led by directions. That means you tweak the business this way. You see 5
customers. You tweak it this way, you see 10 customers. Okay, so you stay at that 10 customer part and then it starts tweaking another place. Now, if you think that place is not working again, you tweak again to see if you can increase your customer. And if you tweak the wrong way, you tweak back to where you're coming from, right? So there are growth achieved through specific directions. Now, the issue that comes in this stage is the challenge of autonomy. In the survival stage, autonomy, questions around autonomy will come around and you have to know how to deal with it. Are you going to be autonomous in your actions, in the way business is being run? If you're not going to be, then you need to be clear from the onset. Particularly if you have more than one co-founder. If you have more than one co-founder, this is something that matters. And that's what I need to emphasize is even as you grow, as the size expands, your complexity of the company increases. The complexity of the company increases. At some point, it's just the owner or the founders and then their customer. Then they have another staff. Next thing is the founders, the staff, and then the customer. Then there's now manager, then there's now executive beneath the founder, then there's manager of managers. Before the complexities are expanding, before you get to that point, all your direction has to be clear. Else, you only compound challenges. And it doesn't matter that it's an agricultural business, it is important that you observe all of that. Now, in the third stage, which is the stage where there is noticeable success. Welcome, Mr. Bangbola. Would you kindly mute your mic? Because we're recording the session and we want it to stay quiet. All right. So in the third stage is when you start seeing success. So you've proven your existence and why you should exist. You've worked on the fact that your survival is guaranteed by tweaking several sides of your solution. One is not working, you try the other route. Another route is not working, you try another route. You tried multiple routes until there's an action, there's a result. At that point, now you're experiencing a certain level of success. Success could come in form of client increments, so come of in terms of financial increments. So you could have maybe little number of clients, but they are now choosing to buy more or expand their purchase from you. Now that is because you've tweaked it well. Now because you've not tweaked it well, you've now created people that have certain delegations. You've hired a staff to join you. That staff understand what he or she is doing. You brought him and that manager knows what he's managing. Then several processes are now being created in your company. The complexity has improved and you've had a good handling of that complexities. And that is when you start to see growth. The numbers are increasing, the clients are increasing, the expansion is there, and then you are all full of success. This stage is very important that you know that success in itself is not absolute. It is relative. If you start seeing a certain level of growth, you cannot get perplexed to the point where you are okay and contented with the level that you're in. You need to keep inquiring and challenging your thought pattern and thought processes to see how you can get a better approach. So you can keep tweaking. The tweaking you did to start seeing success, you must not stop that tweaking. So that you can be able to move full and get more clients. Now, the biggest challenge you're going to see in this stage of success is control. Control. There are now many staff in the company that are working simultaneously. Now, how is control being done among them? Who has access to what authority? Who has access to another authority? How do everybody align with single opinions and achieve similar results? Now, these are challenges in this success stage. Then the fourth stage, you are going to now have to steady that success. You've tweaked. You know I said in success stage, you don't stop tweaking. The tweaking that got you to the success, you can't stop tweaking. You have to keep tweaking until that growth becomes consistent. You get to a level in business that every tweaking you tweak brings out great results. Yeah, and it's not rocket science. It's the fact that you understand the hacks of how to tweak. You've mastered the inefficient part of the tweaking and you've eliminated them out of the place, and now all you put in process are just the efficient part of the tweaking process. And then at that point you realize that it looks like your growth is now high, however it's not as multiplying effects, it's not coming with the same multiplying effect as the initial stage of all of this is. And this is a growth achieved through coordination. Everything is now perfect, process is now clear, everybody knows their parts. You don't remind anybody about it. at this stage, the biggest plan you have is bureaucracy. You're going to have to now mind diplomatic activities internally and externally, because at this point you are already a full-blown successful business, and at this point you get mature. And at this maturity stage, which is this fifth stage, you start partnering with people, because then your service that you're running is now calling for other complementary services. The product you're producing is now calling for complementary services. And the truth there is, you can't do them all alone. Most of these things, to avoid not doing them all alone, you need to partner, you need to collaborate, you need to exchange your concept with someone else. Now, that is the five stage of business, great, from a creation of a business to a growing stage of a business. I'm going to just run through the four stage, and then we'll now talk basically about how we can now pick a business, examine, and use it as an example of how to grow a business. Let me go back to the first. Now, this is it. Now, when you talk about sales, right, you start achieving certain level of sales. Now, from the stage I entered, you see, I said the people use different names to classify the stage. This was said the introduction stage, then the other chart say existence stage. I've told you that the name does not matter per se, or the number of stages does not matter. It is how it is being described, right? The introduction stage, the growth stage, the maturity stage, the decline stage, right? The other image does not have decline stage. There is a decline stage in every business. At that decline stage, you can pivot. When you pivot, then you can extend the life cycle of that business. If some of us remember vividly, there was a time, this is not the first time, a lot of us believe Facebook right now is already, in a way, oversaturated. But this is not the first time Facebook is getting saturated. The first time Facebook got saturated was 2008, 2010. That is the first period Facebook became saturated as a business. Then they pivoted, and then it became better. And then there was another saturation around 2013, 2014. And they pivoted into a marketplace. And there's now and again around 2018, 19. And that was when it became a Meta, right? And they pivoted again. If you can keep reinventing your business, you keep extending the life cycle. However, if you don't, you will fizzle out and then you die. But in the sales quarters, in this kind of growth stage, there's an introduction stage where there's low sales and there's high costs. You're trying to put your business out there, the ideas of what you do and how you do it out there. It is high costs, but the sales are not even matching with what you're trying to do, right? There is little to no profit at all. You could almost want to feel discouraged. You could almost want to feel discouraged, but you have to keep at it, because it's the existence stage, and it's the stage where you put so much effort to prove that business, you know what the end result of that dream should be. They start seeing certain level of growth when you enter the growth stage. The sales start picking up. A lot of people have been knowing about you for weeks, for months. Get start understanding your business model, and they start coming around to check more and more, calling you to find out more about the business. And they start seeing increments in sales. As you start seeing increments in sales, your marketing budget doesn't have to necessarily increase anymore. Now, there are more sales for the same marketing or effort you're making as before. So then there's a reduced cost on your part and more sales. And then start seeing some level of revenue. Not really profits yet. Although it's profit the right here, but it's not usually really profits. But it's a good chunk of revenue. Now, between the growth stage and the maturity, there's this line between the growth and the maturity. That is when you start experiencing certain level of profits. Before you now enter the maturity stage, where there's now consistent sales. Like every month, you get to a point where you know that, okay, I'm getting 5 sales every month minimum, no matter how it is, depending on the kind of business you're running. Some business will be 100 sales every month. Some business will be 5 sales, depending on the value of the business. Some people are selling something that is being sold at 10 naira. Why some percentage that is sold at 10 million? You can't compare their sales together, right? But the sales is consistent. So if it's 5, there's a benchmark every month. Worst case scenario, for someone doing 5, 10 million naira business, there's 5 customers every month, or 10 customers every month, is consistent. Like, bad as a bad, every month there is a guaranteed number of sales that will happen. And those that are doing a very, very little retail business in the agriculture sector, then they are making almost 100 sales every month. Now that 100 sales is their own consistent number. And then of course you see reduced cost of operation, cost of sales, and then of course increasing profits. And after this stage, you can, a lot of people try to elongate this stage as much as possible. Now, there is no rocket science. Some people can be in the maturity stage for 1 year. Some can be there for 10 years. Some can be there for 50 years. It depends on the discipline and efficiency of the company, the staff, the co-founders, and everyone involved in that business. But after they lose grip on this consistency, it could be the fact that the market is tired of their products. It could equally be the fact that they've tampered with their quality assessments. The quality assurances, the quality specs have drained out. It's possible. Anything could lead a company to a decline stage. For example, BlackBerry got into their decline stage because they choose not to innovate. They choose to stick with their innovation that is already getting outdated, and they lost the market share in the North American region to Apple's. And then in the Asia market, which was just a thriving and coming alive economy, to Android. And that's when they lost their market share entirely. And then BlackBerry became something we used to know, right? So a lot of things can push a company to a decline stage. As a leader of business or as a founder of business, it is your duty to know all of these things and prevent against it, right? And this is the first stage for the growth part. Of course, the introduction, where you're just entering the market, you're coming to the market new with your business, and then that's the early stage. And then there's the growth where people are getting to know you a little bit better, and they are willing to take a chance on you. And then there's the maturity stage, where there's consistent sales going on, and then there's a decline. At the decline, you don't have to decline. You can always reinvent yourself, going through the pilot, probate, and launch. Do that again at this stage, and then you bring in new services that is a different arm of what you naturally do as much as possible. And that is the old use to building and growing your business. Now, it doesn't matter that it is agriculture, it's the same thing. There can be different tweaks to it, no doubt. However, the fundamental remains the same. The fundamental remains the same. All you have to know is there's a beginning stage, and that stage comes with a lot of research, information, and data. And then there is an action stage, and then there is a growth stage, and then there is a maturity stage, and then there's a pivoting stage or a decline stage. These are things that have to be clear. So to now look deep into it, right? I will pick a business, for example. Mr. Oluwaseun, are you there with us? Mr. Oluwaseun there?
Yes, sir. Good evening, sir.
Yes, good evening. Good evening. Would you want to tell us a bit about your business so we could probably examine and see what stage you are and see what could be done to either improve it, start it, or get it better? You know, if you've just started, what agricultural business are you looking to start, and how do you plan to go forward in it? Then we could look at it together and move on. Now, why do I think I have a little to say here? By God's grace, the first company I and my co-founder created will be 8 years this December, and somehow we've survived the 5-year startup mark. There's a 5-year for every startup that just starts, where they believe that 90% of businesses within their first 5 years fails. Somehow my team and I have survived the 5 years, and by God's grace, we'll be clocking 8 years this December, and that is how far we've brought ourselves. So it's just 7 years this December, and that's how far we've brought ourselves. So Mr. Oluwaseun, do you have a business you currently run, agricultural business, or that you want to start?
All right. Good evening, sir. Once again, let me first congratulate you, sir, for what you said. It's not easy in this Nigeria economy to scale that 5 years or startup that will say startup will always fail. All right. So I'm a Kunle Oluwaseun by name once again, and I would say I've started and I've not started, in the sense that I don't know if those on the call presently and you, sir, know about the AI program that's by Farmer Samson Obondi. I'm one of the participants, and I am much more than a stakeholder, whereby we created a company that is also the production of vegetables using technology, that's using the like of net house technology and the likes of soilless medium, and also the likes of the drip irrigation. Basically, so I can say that is also a business, but it's not my own personal business. It's a group of people that came together, like we came as we're registering, and after we're going the training, the group was into a company, and it's been functioning now, whereby, although there's a system in place whereby we sell back to Soilless Farm Lab. Beyond that, I have an educational background in livestock sector from the Federal University of Technology, Akure. So I do hope that, as I said, I have started and I have not started. So I do hope that, okay, in the coming year, that's next year, I'm looking up to start my farm business. That's where will be the livestock, basically, where I'm into the, I will be into the production of broiler on irregular basis, where I'll be supplying to eateries and eating centers, people like, they will be on the, this week. That's what I'm looking forward to. Thank you very much, sir.
All right. Thank you so much. We'll come back to you. We'll expand on your thought a bit. We have, yes, typically 15 minutes to expand that thought a bit. But let me quickly get to Akinwunmi Akintoye. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can hear you.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, I want to know, have you started your agricultural business? You're looking to start?
Yes. Good evening, Mr. Adene.
Good evening, sir.
Yeah, how are you doing?
Not bad, not bad. Good.
Well, I've been into the poultry sector for almost 8 years now. 8 years, thereabouts.
Isn't that wonderful? So, apparently, we have plenty. Apparently, we are plenty surviving in it.
I'm not really surviving, but well, we are in and out, but at least the last 8 years I've been doing poultry consistently.
Beautiful.
I have I run a breeder farm where we produce day old chicks, broilers.
Alright.
But I've had to take a break due to the feed cost that skyrocketed early this year. I'm sure you're aware of that. Maybe it's going to come as 600.
I'm fully aware.
So it really knocked out a lot of producers. And unfortunately, well, I had to just shut down for now. So I picked something when you were discussing about reinventing.
Yeah.
So I'm trying to look at that. But alongside, I have a registered company, Intra-Agro Life Ventures. I still do supplies of day-old chicks. You know, I have a few customers in the north, the east, and you know, I sell outside. I'm based in Ibadan. I sell outside Ibadan most of the time.
Ibadan is the capital of livestock. Okay, day-old poultry.
Yes.
Poultry.
Yes, it is.
Yes, it's the capital of poultry.
Yeah, I'm part of the day-old chicks merchants. So that's what I do now, majorly. Yeah, that is to keep running and then be in touch with the business. It's a challenging climate.
It is.
But
I think
there's hope for the, as long as people eat, then you are in business.
Exactly.
Except people stop eating.
Exactly. And I think one thing people need to understand is you should not be loyal to the solution. You have to be loyal to the problem. Have we had that before?
Not really.
Okay, I'm saying it now. We have to be loyal to the problem, not loyal to the solution. So the problem is that food is scarce and there will always be a need for food. As you've emphasized, there will always be a need for food. However, the way you provide that system should be what you're looking at. The cheapest way to plug yourself into the system, the less riskier way to plug into the system is what you should thrive on. And that's why I like what you said as regarding you doing the merchant side of things. I think a while back I played around poultry agency business. I don't know if you were around during that period.
Okay. Well, I've always been in and out of the agency business. When I was running the farm fully, I didn't really have time doing the selling side. So I just produce, give to people that sell. But I discovered they were cutting corners and I had to start coming to the market to understand what they were doing. That's what made me pivot into the merchant side.
Exactly, exactly.
So, and I found that people that we, it was like we were empowering people to succeed because we were always giving them products to sell and they would sell at a margin, even to the detriment of the farmer. So now I know it's the marketing side that everybody should work on before even going to production.
Exactly, and which is something that if it can be gotten right, there's profit to be made. For example, a friend of mine actually closed down his own layers farm as well.
I have a lot. I also consult. I do, you know, that's my field. I did animal health. I consult for a few people around in Ibadan, and it's a bit challenging too. Some will pay consultants for some time. Sometimes they are shutting down. Of course, you have to let them go. But it's another area and pivot. I do consultancy here and there.
I think I dropped paid consultancy. I think I dropped it a long while back. Not because of anything, but because, largely. So, the right knowledge is scarce in supply. However, those that have the right knowledge, to be candid, paid through thick and thin to have that knowledge. So, of course, it's only just right that you pay them value for that knowledge you want to access. But because the market, the agriculture sector is a sector where entitlement comes into play. For example, a lot of people feel like they are entitled to your knowledge by force, by fire.
For free.
They feel entitled to that knowledge.
We tend not to pay for value. That's a big problem.
Exactly. So when I noticed that, a lot of people now start tending to run away from those that have the ideas that can help them succeed because the person is priced and has a price tag attached to them. And I see a lot of people failing because of that. And then one of the reasons I created this platform is to ensure that I will give you the information, as many as I can think of. I will give you as many. I have many things I have to talk about and I have to pick them one after the other. I will give out the information. Come and pick it up. However, understand that information alone will not make you successful.
Okay.
Deliberate actions are what will deliver results to you.
Okay, I don't know whether I should chip this in. I decided to collaborate with a friend who is into vegetable farming. He has about 10 acres.
All right.
You know, he's into, he did put tomato, cucumber, and what have you. I think pepper. The only first stage I saw him succeed was the tomato. After the tomato, when rains come, blight finished the whole place, and, you know.
It was back to square one.
He said?
It was back to square one.
I'm telling you, he made a lot of money from just one plot or two plots. He made like 2 million or 3 million. And I was like, wow, this is a good one. Let's collaborate. Thus, I ran away. When the blight thing started, and you know, tomatoes that were fruiting, they just started wilting and dying.
Mm-hmm.
Couldn't take anything to the market. We started cucumber too, and they were pricing it back 3,000. You can imagine after, you know, the efforts, buying fertilizer, we employed people on the farm. You know, these outside guys that are paid and we feed every month. No, I'm still running, but I've stepped back a bit and trying to face my poultry guy. The weather is summer. But there's a lot of potential in it if one can get it right.
Now, maybe I will enter that vegetable some other day. I've played around plenty of vegetables. I've played around plenty of things. Well, I'll get into that part in the future. But, of course, the content of this month is just how to look at the business side of agricultural activities and get it right. Not just the production stage. Production is something that everybody jump into one way or the other. The business side is where a lot of people lack the skill. And that's where
the money is,
and that's what we're trying to build this month. We did the next 10 minutes. I want to play around Ekundayo's business or what is about going into. I really appreciate your contribution, Mr. Akinwumi. I hope we'll get to talk more about these production challenges soon and then be able to expand it. There's a lot to talk about. I'll probably maybe next webinar, I'll make it probably a 2-hour session or 1.5-hour session so we can have ample time to pick real situations and then grind them to bits and then probably work a particular project from the beginning to the end and then we can pick cues from that. Mr. Oluwaseun. Yes, thank you, sir. Mr. Oluwaseun, can you hear me? Are you there?
Yes, I can hear you, sir. I'm with you, sir.
Beautiful, beautiful. So, coming back to what you said, right? Currently, right now, you are part of Samson Obole's products, and you guys are grouped into a MasterCard Foundation project where you guys have a business together, and then you guys sell to Samson Obole back, and then you guys get paid for what you produce. The question I want to ask is, why don't you want to pilot that lane continuously? Why don't you want to expand on that activity since you've gotten practical skills in it?
All right, sir. Thank you very much, sir. With the little knowledge I have, looking at how things have been run, probably maybe in abroad, and the little knowledge and all, it's best that one being a system that one is assured of. Although it's not like probably maybe I'm scared of entering the waters and all, probably maybe deep waters. I don't know if I get the question right, but if I get it right, I'm looking at it that, okay, still being under that system for now to still gain more knowledge and know your more knowledge, since there's access to market, there's no the issue of, okay, I'm thinking of market. I was in a program and it said the basic stuff of a farmer, although I'm still finding it hard to accept that, yes, I'm a farmer, I'm a businessman. I guess I'll go with a farmer premium. But then a farmer just wants to produce, that's just it. So the one that is trying to push more pressure to the farmer that, okay, the farmer should do this, the farmer should do that. The basic stuff of a farmer is to produce. If there's a system, if there's a right system of, okay, there's production, after production, there's this one and that one and that one. I don't know if we are getting the picture of what I want to paint. But then the reason why I'm still under this system now is to learn more and say there's access to markets. Why should I really bother myself that much to give myself a headache of what is available, trying to make it another stuff? Thank you very much.
Yes, yes. And what you're saying is what I'm trying to drive at. This system already works. I would have expected that you would want to grow into it and expand it as opposed to go outside that system to start something new entirely. Because as you said, right, I won't lie to you, every product that comes out from the agricultural sector have extensive markets. However, the biggest challenge is how to key into this market with the minimal investment and churn out the biggest outcome or revenue that brings about good, great margins in net profits. So what I'm saying, of course, is that why don't you just, after your program in this session, why don't you go fully into production of these vegetables you are already producing in this project? That's what I was asking. Did you get that, Shion?
Yes, sir, I got it, sir.
All right. So, initially you said you wanted to pivot outside vegetables. You want to set up something else. I was just asking that, why don't you continue vegetables? Is there a reason why you don't want to continue vegetables even after the program is ended?
Oh, okay. I get the question now, sir. This is going to be my first time of entering the vegetable sector. I was part of the course 3, that was July. But then I've been in the livestock sector right from 2017. So although I've not really started something that big too, but then I can sell 50 beds and then we sold, that's project work. So with the background and the educational background too, I still want to do it more there. Although I have that mentality of I'm afraid of change, kind of that. Since I've studied this, I don't know who moved my chairs. That's one book. I don't know who really wrote it. But then I still want to dwell more on the livestock sector, to showcase myself in the livestock sector phase. Then as time goes on, I bring in the vegetable, the crop sector into play also, sir. Thank you, sir.
Now, as someone that played around both livestock and crop, right? Crop afford flexibility that livestock does not. Livestock does not afford flexibility. What you have to do, you have to do, and you have to do it. And you have to do it the right way. Else you might have issues with livestock. And I believe you know that already. I want to ask that, between livestock and the crop for you, which one is most easier for you? Like, to manage, maintain, and put in place?
Currently for now, sir, I'll say the livestock sector, sir.
Then you have your answers. Then you have your answer. Mr. Akim, exploring the market potential is key, which I think is something that is important as well. Mr. Akim, you want to say something?
Yes. I want to react to what Oluwaseun is saying.
All right.
There is a big opportunity in the frozen. I mean, if you can add value, not just to produce and look for who will come and buy. If you can process, get a freezer or something, have an outlet, that is where you make the most money. So it's not just in production and telling people to come and buy layer beds that we sell and make a bigger margin. So if you can add value on that, when you get your day-old chicks, you raise them. Actually, if you do a good manager practice, good feeding, within 35 days, they are ready. 35 to 42 days. You can slaughter and dress and then market to eateries, just as you were saying, or to other, even people, events, parties, and what have you. That's where you make most money. Mm. So there's a lot of things you can play around in that sector that Oluwaseun was talking about.
Yes, yes.
Yeah, Mm-hmm. Recently, there was a big scarcity for frozen chicken, you know, during the time of where everybody was buying for December.
Exactly.
And people could not afford to buy. So there was a big shortfall. In fact, if you have up to 10,000 5-6 weeks best today, you have people that can pick by tomorrow. It's as serious as that. So it's just to take advantage of those off-season periods and maximize your production and profits. Thank you.
Yeah. Now, the meeting is ending in 7 minutes. And I think what Oluwaseun had touched on, I plan to still see how best I can enlighten more into it. Nonetheless, when you're ready to go into this business, Oluwaseun, you might need to partner with fish seller, depending on the region you are, right? Livestock or meat sellers, as the case may be. In Lagos, it's already a common thing. My friend actually does that. He has various farms across Ogun State that he partners with, and he has this woman that does a lot of chain of frozen food across Lagos. So they have partnership where once they've killed the chicken and dressed the chickens and the turkeys and all of them, they move it to a freezer, and then for she providing that opportunity, there's a percentage of the produce that my friend sells to her at a very, very sensible price. And then she gets those products like at a near cost price. And then she helps my friend as well in storing his products. And of course, I noticed of lately too, as Mr. Akinwunmi has stated, He had been speaking of buying. He has been on the buying spree, but I knew that. Of course, I felt it was the festive season coming up that is driving up demand. But obviously, it could be a lot of things. It could be the fact that poultry feed is going up, prices of product are going up, and many other things. But when you're already low action, you want to consider partnership. So if you can add directly going to freezer in the beginning, you can always partner with people are system that already have that in motion, and then you can leverage growth in that angle. I believe there will be so much more knowledge sharing in the second webinar, which should be in a week plus time from now. As I said, I'll try and make it longer so that we could be able to explore all of this thing as much as possible, and then probably make proper plans into it. Of course, Mr. Akinwunmi says he's planning to stock 6 weeks soon. Of course, I wish you good luck in it. As I say, poultry is quite wonderful. It's just that I believe you will sell nonetheless, because people want to buy. You will sell no matter how it is. You will just be selling all through, because people are so eager right now. And by next 2-3 weeks, the drive will not even become abnormal. It is well. I wish you good luck in it as well. Thank you so much, Oluwaseun and Mr. Akinwunmi, for your time on this call. I hope we're able to gain one or two things together.
Yeah, a little bit value.
Yes, and that is the goal. This session is recorded, so if you want to listen to it again for any reason whatsoever, or you want to share with someone, you can always pick that up later, and next time we'll have proper time to talk better. Thank you, Oluwaseun, too, for being on the call. I really appreciate your time. I wish both of you a wonderful evening. All right, thank you
very much.
You're most welcome.
Thank you very much, Sam.
Thank you. Bye.
Hope to keep in touch. All right.
Definitely. We'll be in touch.
All right. Thank you.
Bye, Sam. Yes.
Bye. Thank you.